people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us on site at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
You may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm trusting God for speed to finish this message today. Lord, give me understanding. That is the title of the message. I know why I'm trusting God to be able to finish it today. There are two Sundays before Ablaze. And those two Sundays are powerful. That's the information, the only information I can give you now. As I take my time to wait on the Lord, I covet your prayers as the church to bring a fresh word from God during Ablaze, because I'm also one of the ministers during Ablaze. I thank you for your enthusiasm. I desire, and I've been fasting for this and seeking God. I am not a perfect human being, but I know that I love the Lord perfectly with all my heart. I desire that the Ablaze we are going to have this year will be with a difference. If you look at the theme is dominion activated. What I want God to do, and I've been telling him this year, is activations. You see, all of you seated before me this morning, and those who are watching online or listening, if you have Christ in you, you have the hope of glory. Your future is glorious already because of Christ in you. Not because of your family background, not because of what your parents have or what they don't have, but because of Christ in you. And when Christ comes, he doesn't come empty-handed. Every person is loaded with potential. Now, people say potentials. That is not good English. It's potential. You are loaded with giftings, divine abilities that set you apart from the rest of the world. However, if these giftings of God, these divine abilities, which can make a way for you in this life, if these giftings are not activated, one will live life as though one was never gifted at all. Every child that you see, every child born into this world is born with potential for greatness. God never creates failure. But if you look at life generally, I mean, you guys are adults, you are not babies anymore. How many people turn out to be successful in life? How many people turn out to be significant? I'm not talking about they have a lot of money, which is the word definition of success. Yes, those things will come, right? But those things are really not the core. You have Christ. Having Christ should therefore give you an advantage in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what I want, and I'm making this public right now, and so that when you are also praying, you can pray along. What I want is that Christ will come and activate in us what he put in us through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the activator. In Judges chapter 6, the man Gideon didn't know who he was. They were under the oppression of their enemies. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said to him, "You mighty man of valor." And I was like, "What do you mean I'm a mighty man of valor?" The angel said to him that God is going to use you to deliver your people from the Philistines. Right? Okay, thank you. The Midianites, rather. No. Go back. So Gideon said unto him, now, go back a little bit, please. Good. No, verse 12. He said, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. It was an angel that announced that to him. He didn't know he was a mighty man of valor. He was running from the Midianites, the enemies. But an angel came and said, you, mighty man of valor. Now, that's not small. And then the guy thought, okay, go ahead. Next verse. Verse 13, please. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? I understand the days in which we live are very challenging. Some of you are saying this same thing. If God is for me, if I'm truly a child of God and I'm blessed and highly favored, how come I'm having all these issues I'm having in my life? How come I'm dealing with all these problems? If it's not one problem, it's another. Problem at home, problem in school, problem in church, problem in my place of work, problem everywhere. Now, all of the problems around you do not define who you truly are. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want the Holy Spirit to activate us so that we see who we are and then run with what he has given us. Until a life is activated, it remains deactivated and it remains inactive. For you to fulfill purpose, there must be a point of activation. Look at what the guy said. Why is all this befalling us? Now, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? They told us story upon story of God's miracles. Now, where are those miracles now? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Some of you are feeling right now that God has forsaken you. If God cares about me, why will I not be able to pay my bills? Why will I have an extra year in school? Why will I have an extra semester? Why will I this? Why will I that? Why will I lose my job? I'm saying to you that all of those circumstances put together cannot define who you are. You are victorious in Christ in the name of Jesus. And the Lord looked upon him in spite of all the rantings, because God does not dwell in negativity. The guy was talking from negativity. God doesn't dwell there. God is love. And when you see him, you see joy. You see peace. That's why Paul the apostle prayed in Romans 15:13. Don't take away the scripture. Romans 15:13. He said, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not a minister of sadness. He's not a minister of depression. He's not a minister of anxiety. He's a minister of joy, peace, hope. Can I get an amen to that? And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. And thou, the Lord gave him a commission. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? That was the moment Gideon became activated. He had what it took to deliver Israel from the Midianites, but he was not aware. Some of you have what it takes to get into your next level in life, but you are not aware. And you are still looking for help from outside, from uncle, auntie, neighbor, friend, enemy. But what you need is already on the inside of you, like a SIM card. When you buy a SIM card in the phone shop and you don't take it to the service provider to activate it, it is useless. Am I making sense? I'm trusting God for activation of this ablaze, so that we live ablaze and we begin to happen to life. Did you hear what I said? Life has happened to many of us for too long. Now we begin to happen to life. We begin to walk in that dominion practically. We begin to take our place, not only in the things of the Spirit, but also in other affairs of our lives. In the marketplace. Can I have an amen to that? I'm very passionate about this. I beg you. I sense God is really going to do something in this ablaze. And this year, what we have done, we're going to have word sessions that will be very deep. Prayer sessions like never before. But also, we're going to have a session of how to practically walk in dominion in the marketplace. Because I discovered that we are fired up in church. We are encouraged, right? But when some of us get to the marketplace where the real challenges are, we forget who we are. And so this year, I've invited a brother. He's been my friend for many years, right from our days in the Singles Fellowship. I was president Singles Fellowship here in Ibadan. He was president Singles Fellowship in Lagos. And on their wedding day, when he found the sister, he told me, and the sister happens to be my beloved sister and Oriofe's auntie. And then I was the MC at their wedding. Our relationship dates from way back. He's a legal practitioner. I knew him from his first office in Western House in Lagos. I visited him there then. I don't know where his office is now, but God has helped that man. And I want him to come and tell us. I told him, it's not just preaching. Practical, real life experiences of how to walk in dominion in the marketplace. The marketplace is not the place for players. The people you meet in the courtroom, in the boardroom, in the business place. When I say marketplace, I don't mean like Mokola Market. I mean your profession, wherever you are, as a doctor. There is darkness in every hospital, but there is also light there. Amen? In the banking industry, you might not be aware that some people get into trouble, not because they want to get into trouble, but there are forces that compel them. How come some people are very normal people before they get into public office, before they become governor? God-fearing, they love the Lord, capro trained. They go to the mission field. I know a minister in this country who was like that. Capro trained. Capro people are rural, rugged people. They go into the villages to do evangelism. She became a minister. She stole Nigeria blind. Capro trained. I know a former president who was discipled by one of our fathers in the faith, whose name I don't want to mention. Personally discipled in the hotel. He led him to Christ and discipled him before he got into political office. He came into office. By 7 p.m., he was already drunk. We abuse our leaders. That governor is a useless man. The president is a useless man. If you get there, it will surprise you what you will do. Unless you are boiled and cooked and well prepared for the challenges of the office you are going to. Listen to me. For every new level you attain in life, there is a devil there. Psalm 74 verse 20 says, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of this world are full of the habitations of cruelty. You want power. You want money. You want influence. There is a power to contend with. In your field, the devil wants to keep us small. The devil wants to keep us small as Christians because he knows that when money comes into the hands of Christians, he's in trouble. Christians will sponsor our blaze. Christians will sink boreholes in communities. Christians will give free education to children and use that opportunity to minister Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? We know what to do with money. That's why he will not let money come to us. He won't let it come, but we will know how to collect it. God told that Hagin like that. Go and check my Facebook wall. I shared an article there. God told him, the money you are looking for is not up here. That Hagin, a man of faith, he will preach, he will do healing. After healing services, 4 to 5 brethren will gather to help him push his car. And he was begging God, God, why? I have the anointing to heal. What is happening to my finances? And God told him, the money you are looking for is not up here in heaven. I don't have dollar bills up here. If I have dollar in heaven, it will be counterfeit. God will never rain naira down on us. If he rains it down, it will contradict the number. You are a banker. The number that comes with money from CBN. And God is not a counterfeiter. So whatever belongs to us, we need to take by faith. There is a God of this world, 1 Corinthians 4:4. If our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Or 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians. It is hidden to them, verses 3 and 4. It is hidden to them that are lost, whose minds have been blinded by the God of this world. Come on now. Move. Verse 4. By the God, small letter G, God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Small letter G. Satan, the devil. Adam used to be the God of this world. But when he committed treason, he gave his authority over to Satan. He became the God of this world. But it's not the God of our lives. In the temptation, Luke chapter 4, he told Jesus, he said, look at all the glory of the kingdoms of the world. If you bow down to worship me, I will give it to you. You think that was a joke? Oh no, Jesus was not tempted. Ah no, nobody can tempt you. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If it was not given to Satan, he would not have said, I will give it to whomsoever I will. It was given to him. Adam gave it to him. If Jesus was tempted, how about us? Is this not why we need to pray for one another? Is this not why we need to pray for Christians in political offices and public places so they don't misbehave? Oh, it was not a temptation to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points. How many points? All points. He was what? He was what? You want to tell me Jesus wasn't tempted? Thank God he didn't fail. If he had worshipped the devil, our salvation gone out of the window. We would have forever been servitude to Satan. But thanks be to Jesus, who didn't cave in under the weight of the temptation. In a moment, the devil showed him all the glory of the kingdoms of the world and said to him, it has been delivered to me and I will give it to whosoever I will. Church, do you think it's a joke that Satan keeps attacking us every time in our families, in our homes, and even in this church? Do you think it's a joke? It's because we are making sense in the realm of the spirit. We are making impact. Nobody throws a stone at a fruitless tree. Are you normal? You see a mango tree, it has no fruit, and then what are you plucking? I want to pluck the leaves. You want to eat it. The moment a tree becomes fruitful, they will throw anything and everything. And Satan will use anybody that makes himself available. May you not be used of the devil. Because he uses us against us. If he jumps down now in this place, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to run away. We'll bind him in the name of Jesus. But he won't do that. He will use us against us so that he can weaken our link and take advantage of us, lest Satan take advantage of us. I'm giving myself to real fasting and praying for this season. Because enough is enough. This is not going to be another blaze. Yeah, we'll buy uniform, we'll do all of that, we'll do all of that. Amen? As the Lord blesses us. But hey, I want you to come with intentionality. Don't miss one session. We will have maybe one or two of the days, we'll have encounter room in between, where we'll pour out our hearts to the Lord. I really want people to leave this place. Like when Jesus left the wilderness in Luke chapter 4 and in verse 14, after the temptation, the Bible says, then Jesus returned into Galilee in the power, verse 14, of the Spirit. Verse 14, whoever is on the system, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I want us to return from ablaze, return home, return to school, return to work in the power of the Spirit. And guess what happened when he returned the power of the Spirit? And there went out a fame of him through all the region around about. That's activation. The church remained dormant until the Holy Ghost came. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost descended on them and filled them up. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And the church was born. And the apostles went everywhere doing miracles like the Holy Ghost. So much so, a book was written, a compendium of everything they did, titled The Acts of the Apostles, not The Sayings of the Apostles. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody say activation.
Activation.
That's what I'm trusting God for. To be honest with you, I might not be here next Sunday to tell you this. That's why I'm taking my time to do this now. Everybody, let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare to meet the Lord. Let's wash our robes, the robes of our heart. Let's consecrate ourselves. Let the double-minded drop their doubt. Let the sinner forsake their evil ways. That the Lord will come and meet us. I'm desiring testimonies that would sound like exaggeration. This is a lie. Is it your age? You did it. God did it. No, who did it? God did. Enough is enough. We're playing around. Every day we're intentional. I offend you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. We move on. Amen?
Amen?
Not holding things until the devil now makes it fester. Until we are so bitter that we can't even pray. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
These things are ongoing. It will shock you that even during a blaze, offenses will happen. Even during a blaze, when God is in town. Let us watch. Let us watch. Let us watch. Let us watch. Jesus didn't say pray. He said watch and pray. Prayer has been emphasized. Watching has been de-emphasized. Let us watch. Let's watch. Let's be a people of understanding. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching this morning. It is through understanding you watch. You watch. Where is this going? Where is this matter going? Who is responsible for this? And then you can take authority in the realm of the Spirit and bring him to his knees. Finally, in charging you this morning, don't worry, it's going to be part of my preaching time. I want to plead with all of you, give substantially. On my table, I have a bill of about 10 million. We've got only 200,000 from one person. So, or you want me to pray to God to send people from outside to come and give us money? Is that what you want me to pray? Because I'm praying already, and I'm praying for you that God will bless you. Is that better?
Yes,
that God will bring the provision to you. And then you, when it comes, when the money comes, this week, next week, 2 weeks' time, know that it is for a blaze. Don't spend it. That's your seed. While this earth remaineth, seed, time, harvest, winter, summer, day and night, heat and cold will never cease. As young as my children are, I've taught them that principle. Be kind every day. Give somebody a free ride. Buy somebody lunch. You might give somebody 200 naira. You're sowing a seed. I taught them that. When you do, it's coming back to you. Amen. That's why I'm never stranded in my life. I've been in very tough situations, but I've never been stranded. God has always shown up. God. Even if it's 1 hour to shame, God shows up. Amen. And you will never be put to shame in Jesus' name. So those of you that can give us 1 million, don't give 100,000. If God has given you the capacity to close your eyes and sow a seed, let it be written in your life. I desired that as a young man. Lord, one day I want to give the church 1 million. I want to bless my pastor 1 million. Both done. In the name of Jesus. I've done it. And I'm still looking forward to more. So, we have a lot to do. After our blaze, I will start raising funds for the refurbishing of this house. But the fund we want to raise now is for a blaze. I desire that on a blaze Sunday, when everybody comes, they go back with a food pack. I desire it. And that's going to cost money. So, may the Lord bring resources into your hands in the name of Jesus. Now, I rebuke you, devil. Take your dirty hands off of our finances as a church in the name of Jesus. I release the angels of God over this ministry. Go into the field and bring us a bountiful harvest for every good seed sown in the name of Jesus. A place will be well sponsored and fully sponsored, and there shall be no lack in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have you been blessed this morning? I want to wrap this up. Lord, give me understanding. Lord, give me understanding. Psalm 119 verse 144, the psalmist said, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. I don't want to die, I want to live. So Lord, give me understanding. Paul the apostle picked this up in Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. And he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, please pray this prayer every day, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. When it is enlightened, it is then you will know, you will genasko. That's the Greek word for know there. Is the word for sexual intimacy between a man and a woman. To know is the highest form of knowing. To know the hope of his calling. That's why you can never catch some of us hopeless. Even when it looks like our backs are against the wall, because we know the hope of his calling. Pray this over your life every day, so that you may know the hope of his calling. There is the hope of the calling attached to your life. And that you may know what is the and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. We are not their mates. We are in Christ. We are far above them. Can I have an amen? And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put how many things under his feet? Listen, we are members of the body of Christ. Even if you are the least finger on his foot, the smallest finger, in the body of Christ. Maybe you just gave your life to Christ yesterday. You are a baby. That's not what qualifies you to be that. But let's even say that's who you are. The least finger in the body of Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. But Satan doesn't want you to know that. Rather, he wants you to glorify him. He loves worship. He craves our worship. That's why he told Jesus, bow down and worship me. The smallest member of the body of Christ is not the same, is not on the same level as the devil. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If you see any satanic operation in your life or family, take authority in the name of Jesus. Rebuke him, bind him, and cast him out. Don't trade words with him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't abuse him. Rebuke him. Take authority in the name of Jesus and tell him to get out. Bind him. Spiritual understanding is key. Why understanding? I shared with us 2 weeks ago. I said, because understanding determines what people do. You remember that? Number two, last week I told you, understanding determines what people don't do. What you do is determined by understanding. What you don't do is determined by understanding. When I mean what you don't do, I mean what you don't do, what you intentionally do not do. There is a way to live. There's a way to not live. There is a company to keep. There's a company to not keep intentionally. Not because you are discriminatory, but because you have an understanding of your assignment in life. You don't find eagles flocking with chickens. No, it doesn't happen. Eagle will not come down from the sky and be playing with chicken. Well, let's play 10-10. No. Our destinies are different. I'm destined to soar. Huh? You are destined to walk around on the floor. So we don't. That's why, you see, when, listen to this, as an eagle believer, because we're eagles, right? When an eagle comes down and a serpent comes to attack it, and they engage in a combat, the eagle does not stay on the floor. The eagle will pick the serpent and take him to a very high altitude in the air to fight him there. He changes the battleground. May God give you understanding. The enemy always wants us to engage with him. Trade by banter, back and forth. No, change your strategy. Change the battleground. You see, the moment the eagle picks the serpent and takes him up in the air, the serpent loses all its defense. You see the serpent dangling like this. Dangling. Because the serpent is a master when it comes to the earth, when it comes to the ground. He knows how to maneuver his way. But in the air, he loses his defense. So the eagle begins to beat his head, begins to break its head, begins to injure its head until it is dead. By the time he drops it, he's a dead man. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You don't engage in tit for tat, exchanging derogatory remarks. That's not how we fight. We take our battles to the realm of the spirit. Somebody is threatening, you cannot graduate in this school unless I'm not a professor. On my dead body, there is no way you will become a doctor, my friend. You don't say, in your life, I will be No. Go into your closet. You change the battleground. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where they lose their stability. We win our battles in the realm of the spirit. We win. One of the instruments for winning is praise and worship. My goodness, when you do it from the heart, when you get the right songs, Holy Ghost inspired songs, another instrument is prayer. Another instrument is consecration to God. That's how we win our battles. When the enemy wants us to worry, but we choose to worship. And you can't worry and worship at the same time. Understanding makes you live like that. Understanding. Why do you insult me and I walk away? Understanding. It determines what we do and what we don't do. We were talking about Brother Samson last Sunday. I don't want to overflog that matter. I have made up my mind that we're going to have another service sometime in November or maybe December. Our Pink and Purple Connect. That's where we talk about relationships. I want to help you under God to know how to choose. And if you have been chosen, to know whether you should stay chosen or to unchoose yourself. Because who you marry in life will determine whether you fulfill your destiny or not. Some people will still fulfill their destiny in spite of who they marry, but they will fulfill it wounded. Samson, one day, Judges chapter 16, verse 1, on the valley, it was on the mountain of Gaza. Verse 4, in the valley of Sorek. A Nazirite unto God, who was supposed to live a consecrated life. Samson, nonetheless, was a man of faith and a man of prayer. He had his exploit. God chose him from the womb. What did he do for God to choose him? God just chose him. Divine election. And it was beginning to deliver Israel from the Philistines. But the weakness he didn't deal with dealt with him. A lot of lessons to be learned in that story. From Judges 13 to 16. A lot. For all of us. Samson is a picture of all of us under the old covenant. And then we would also see the grace of God in his story, weaved like a tapestry into his story before the end of that story. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that it can come to rewrite a story and turn your mess into a message. The gospel we preach is not the gospel of condemnation. It's the gospel of another chance. If you have missed it, come to Christ. He will clean you up and give you a new beginning. When they chose the woman Delilah, Judges chapter 16, And verse 3 or 4, they said to her, entice him. Ladies, you have something to learn. You have something to learn. Verse 5, God bless you. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, they found out that Samson liked this particular babe. He was always coming there. So they went to her and talked to her. Number one thing they said to her, entice him. Please him. Don't just seduce him. Befriend him. Why? Because a man will gravitate towards a woman that befriends him and makes herself a home and a homely person to him. You see all this aggression, all this masculinity that is being displayed by many women on social media today. That's why marriages are not lasting anymore. You wonder why our parents and grandparents never attended any marriage seminar. They never did. Yet, they are celebrating 50 years of togetherness. Understanding the principles of love, trust, obedience, forgiveness, submission, prayer. When nobody promised us that life would go smoothly. In fact, if your life is going smoothly, you should watch. Because you just might be on a slippery ground waiting to crack your head on the floor. The way life is configured, while a day, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33, I believe that's it. Are you getting what I'm saying? But today, no, I can't deal with it. No. Marriage is meant to be enjoyed. It's not to be endured. My friend, it is both. It is both enjoyment and endurance. After all, when we take marital vows, what do we say? For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer. But today is for richer, for richest. Oh boy, money no day again, I'm out. If there is no money again, I'm out. No finance, no romance. Whoever schooled you that way, may the Lord deliver you from that in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you. That's the way life is configured. That's the way life itself is. If you don't want problem, leave this world, go to heaven. In heaven, there's no problem. But in this world, there's problem day. Because Satan is here. He's been cast down. Read Revelation. Say, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. They cast him down here, man. That's why we must watch and pray. That's why Jesus said in Luke 18 verse 1, he said he spoke a parable to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why do you need always to pray? There will be need for prayer. One moment we say, Lord, give me a miracle. Lord, I need a miracle. No, just one miracle. Lord, I need a miracle. The next moment, Lord, please don't put me in a situation that requires a miracle. Abby? So which one? What do you really want? Judges 16 verse 5. They said to her, entice him. Entice him. Entice him. Because no man wants to stay with an aggressive woman. Toxic. Even you ladies don't want a toxic relationship. Because your mental health is very important, isn't it? Nobody wants to deal with a toxic man. So I'm talking to both male and female this morning. Let nobody shout because I'm going to give to both of us gosa. It's called Baz Bos. In Proverbs 21 verse 9. Put it up. Entice him. And see where his great strength lies. Solomon said, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a fighting woman in a wide house. It's a big house. You are rich. You are powerful. You have a huge palace. But he said it's better to live. This was a man that married 1,000 women. So he saw all sorts. He had 700 wives. I thought that should be enough. They now had 300 side chicks. 300 concubines. Are you normal? Like, are you okay? What are you looking for? And he said this. You know, listen, church. In other words, he saw different kinds of women, different kinds of shaggy. Before he came to the conclusion that, oh boy, it's better for you. Go and live on the corner, make a corner in the roof of your house, run there for refuge. You think that's not enough? Verse 19, same chapter, verse 19. And I'm talking to you ladies this morning, and I'm talking to you guys as well. If we are going to make anything work in our future, we have to learn to endure. We have to learn to forgive. We have to learn to be soft. It's not you are hard every time. Even as a man, don't just be a hard man. Hard men. Hard men have lost their sons. Because your son will find that in you and he will resent you. Go and look at fathers that don't take nonsense. Their children will deliberately say, I will join the cult. Because I want to teach my dad a lesson. A man called me not too long ago, a few weeks ago. I was lamenting. I won't give you details. And I was counseling and comforting and praying with him. And it was father-son relationship. As a mother too, you can look at this. He said it's better to dwell in the wilderness. See, earlier he said rooftop. Now he said carry your bags. Travel to the Sahara Desert, wilderness, than with a contentious and an angry one. Because nobody, listen to me, nobody wants to toy with their peace. Nobody wants to toy with their mental health. They said to Delilah, entice him. Why? So that he will stay. Judges 16 verse 5, put it back on the screen. So that he would stay. It is when he stays, you will study when he's in a good mood. And when men are in a good mood, they have no secret. Men don't talk, is a lie. We talk a lot. Sometimes more than parrot. Give him the right environment. For some men, it's in the beer parlor. The secret. My son now is going to America. He just got his visa yesterday. Praise the Lord. The enemies are there in the beer parlor. As a woman, make yourself available for your husband to talk to. I know you don't have husbands, but I'm telling you now, lest you say your pastor didn't teach you. Be his confidant. Be his go-to person. And you don't ever get there by gra-gra, by aggression, by manipulation, by trying to be the boss. Boss lady. That's why there are single mothers all over the place now. And they're celebrating that. That's not God's order. God doesn't bless that. God blesses the union. God doesn't bless divorce either. God blesses the union. God wants us together. And it's a work to make it work. It's not going to be a walk in the park. Study. Entice him and study. That's the word see there. Study. Study him. Study wherein his great strength lies. Ayo, you know you gave a wrong description of Samson last week. Do you still remember your wrong description? God bless you. That's like all of us. That was my description too. I thought Samson was a huge guy. Biceps, triceps, Iroko, Olumorok kind of chest. Yeah. And they had his 7 dreadlocks. And he would bounce on the street. He was a 6-footer. All the ladies were looking at him. Man, this guy is my man, my dream man. No, he wasn't. He had no comeliness. How was he going to prostitute? Allah shows them. They have no choice. If you have money, we go. Money for hand, back for ground. That's it. And he had some money to spend. When he found this Miss Delilah, they went to Miss Delilah. You know, they didn't go to the prostitute of Gaza, the Olusha of Gaza. They didn't go to her. They went to Miss Delilah. Miss Delilah, your only job is to find the secret of his strength, because it's a secret. We don't understand this guy. Bad boy. He wasn't big. We thought we could just use one guy to finish him.
he finished 1,000 soldiers. They thought one guy would finish him. 1,000 soldiers. I'm doing a study on Samson again. I'm discovering something that triggers the anointing in him every time they shouted at him. A lion roared at him. Judges 14:5. A lion roared at him. He was with his parents. And the moment the lion roared at him, the spirit came upon him. And he went to the lion and tore the lion like a kid, like a goat. That says something. That says something. When challenges come, they place a demand on the anointing of God in your life. It is in challenges we flex our muscles. That's the time we will know who you are. We don't see challenges and run away. We are the son of the king called Arogumati, Arogumasa, Arogumasojo. We don't run away from trouble. We face it headlong. We go into it and then we overcome. Can I get an amen to that? In Judges, I think 15 again, when they shouted at him, the spirit came upon him. Too many lessons to learn. The first time I engaged a guy in Sabo, and we were really going to fight. And I didn't care. I was in an Hausa community. He shouted at me. I wasn't raised that way. My parents were not shouters. My dad, my mom. So it was strange. Till today, it's still strange to me. When we bring shouting into our home, you know what we're doing? We're creating a distance. And only God will help us to reduce that distance. When you're in the bedroom or in the classroom, no, let's say bedroom, with your friend, or like you guys are seated next to each other, when you want to talk, I don't hear what you're saying. As I'm preaching sometimes, some of you quickly, you whisper, right? Because you are together. But the moment one person is here, the other person is over there. Can you whisper to that person? King! In fact, some people will do like this. They put their hand so that the noise can travel very loud. King! Can you come over here? Bring your shoes and laptop! You guys, I can't hear you. Bring your shoes and laptop! Because there is a distance. When two friends begin to shout at each other, are you okay? Are you normal? You know what you're doing? You're already creating an imaginary distance. I'm telling you what happens in marriages. And I'm telling you to avoid those pitfalls. I wish Samson had a healthy home. But they took his wife. The father-in-law gave his wife to someone else. And offered to give the younger sister. And that also came with consequences. Listen to me, ladies. Listen to me, ladies. If you're an Abigail, don't marry a Nabal. So I've spoken to you, ladies. Now I want to speak to guys. Or I've spoken to guys about ladies. Now I want to speak to ladies about guys. If you know you're an Abigail, your father's delight, that's the meaning of Abigail, a child of the Most High God, don't marry a Nabal. 1 Samuel 25:25. Nabal was a foolish man. David requested for him to give him some food for his men. They had been providing security for Nabal and his animals for free. And he just requested, can you give us something? We're hungry. And Nabal said, did I send you? Who sent you to go and keep my stuff? When David heard that, he said, guys, that idiot, his head will not stay on his neck today. Get up! Let's go. Let's go to him. On the way, one of the servants of Nabal quickly ran home to tell Abigail. Abigail was the wife. Abigail was a wise woman. Oga has committed trouble. Oh, David is coming. David will come. What did he do? David sent for help just for some food stuff, and Oga refused to give him. And I know that we carry dire consequences because this man and his troops have been keeping our animals safe in the field from every cattle rustler. Abigail said, now, you brought the message. Go and get me a fat animal. Kill it now. Dress it. Let's make barbecue. Now, you get me butter. Get me cheese. Now, you go and get me the most expensive wine in the house. She made a package, put it on an animal, and said, let's begin to run now towards David. It was on the way. As Abigail saw David and his troops advancing, they had determined that day to finish everything called Nabal and his household. My goodness. Through the wisdom of a woman. The Bible says a wise woman builds a home. The foolish one tears it down. When it is torn down, you have nothing to gain. Abigail came down from her horse. Abigail knelt down in the dust. David was galloping towards her. David saw a woman kneeling in the dust. Everybody calm down. David got down with his men. What is it? Abigail began to plead. Don't mind him. In verse 25, Abigail said, as his name is, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. Omo Belially ni. Omo Belially. She said, even Nabal. Very specific. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name. Madam, why? And folly, stupidity is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. I didn't see them. I didn't see the young men you sent. I didn't see them, my Lord. I didn't see them. I didn't see them. Nabal means foolish. As his name is, so is he. He's a foolish man. But Abigail, why did you marry Nabal? I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to teach you these things before this year runs out. Because, listen, no matter who you are in life, no matter your profession, no matter how successful you become, if you miss it in your marriage, mommy, mercy alone, look who. She presented all the things. Not only that, she began to prophesy. If you go to one of the verses there, she spoke about how somebody, which was Saul, was trying to take the life of David. And she said that the life of my Lord is bound in the bundle of life with the everlasting God. I got that scripture in 2023 in the midst of a threat on my life. When somebody said he will send assassins. I said, when I found the scripture, I said, you have to kill God before you get me. He wound up in jail, eating beans. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee. Please, guys, don't joke with God's word. This is a scripture for protection. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life. So there is a bundle of life. He said the soul of my Lord is inside that bundle of life. With the Lord thy God. Your life is... Does that not sound like Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3? My life is hidden in Christ with God. The New Testament is the Old Testament explained. Are you with me? Thank you for that scripture. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Abigail said, your life is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Yeah, give me that scripture. Give me that. Don't go away from me. And the souls of thine enemies shall he sling out. Them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Just like the stone that is slung to kill Goliath. And Abigail didn't stop there. And it shall come to pass. She began to prophesy. And it shall come to pass. When the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee. And shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. Because Abigail knew. At that time, David was running from Saul, who wanted to kill him. Saul was still on the throne. And Abigail was already praying for David, that we know you are the next king of Israel. When a woman has the right words, you will get the right man. Take it or leave it. That this shall be no... She started counseling David. I'm telling you, David dropped the sword that day. His hands fell. Akpa Ejabo. Never met such a woman so wise. She said, "And that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord has avenged himself. Don't fight for yourself, my Lord. So that by the time you become king, it won't be a thing of regret. That, I killed somebody. I wish I didn't kill him." He said, "But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid." Words. Words created this world. Words recreate your world. How do you want to recreate your world? Through words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What did David do after? David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be God." I would have killed somebody. I would have missed it. He didn't kill the man. When the woman went back home, she explained to the husband what would have happened. The man was still patting hard, rocking all night long. Keeping rocking. Shaking, baby. Shaking, mama, shaking. That's Tupac Amaru Shakur. Some of you don't know that guy. Shaking, mama, shaking, mama, shaking, mama. All night. All night long. All Friday. Come on. Time to party. They were partying hard. In the morning, when the wine had gone down from his eyes, the wife told him, "Oga, you would have been a dead man by now." His heart froze. He had a heart attack and he died. And guess what happened? News got to David that the husband had died. David sent for the woman and comforted her. A lot of lessons to learn. Ladies, don't rush into marriage. If you're an Abigail, David is still coming. Don't marry a neighbor. Don't say, "Oh no, I can't deal with my parents anymore. Wallahi, they're just making my life hell. Pastor, you can't understand. I need to marry like right now." People who have done that, they've done it in a hurry. Don't be too much in a hurry. Spend your time developing your skills. Spend your time praying. Spend your time listening to God. Spend your time throw yourself in the service of God. And let God come through for you at the appropriate time. You don't have to meet a neighbor. You don't have to marry. You will meet. But you don't have to marry a neighbor before you marry your David. Sounds like a marriage seminar. Understanding. Alcohol, run away from alcohol. King Lemuel's mother told him to run away from alcohol and to not give his strength to strange women. Very important. If God has called you, and God has called all of us, this is a message for everybody, including myself. Like my father in the Lord will say, you see, this word of God is like a sword with two edges, one pointing to the preacher, the other pointing to the people, so that we can all make adjustments. If you're going far in life, be careful who you associate with. Are you getting what I'm saying? Number three, what does understanding, why understanding? Understanding determines the quality of your life. The quality of your life. I will rush this so I can finish it. Or maybe just do this one and then stop, and then we meet at a blaze. Isaiah 27 verse 11. Isaiah 27 verse 11. Understanding determines the quality of your life. What kind of life do you live? Are you easily shaken by challenges? Are you easily disturbed? Are you easily swayed by every storm? Isaiah 27:11.
Understanding will determine the quality of your life. He said, when the bows thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire. Listen, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore, he that made them, that's God, will not have mercy on them. And he that formed them will show them no favor. May you experience the favor of God. May you find the mercy of God. Mercy for your mess. Pastor, that exam, I wrote it, but I'm not sure I did what they asked for. Two of our medical students have spoken to me. I said, relax on the mercy of God. There is something called mercy. What you don't merit, mercy will give it to you. When you have done your best, having done all to stand, therefore, is what the Bible says. He didn't say become agitated. Understand that God is a God of mercy. See the kind of life that these people are going to live? He said the one that made them will show them no mercy. God will have will show them no favor. I say every day, may you enjoy the favor of God. Every day, may you enjoy the mercy of God. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to mind and I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Are you with me, church? Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. When you see somebody operating in excellence, that's a man of understanding. Understanding will determine the quality of your life. You know when to talk. You know when to keep quiet. You want to do everything neatly and clean. You have an excellent spirit. It shows you're a man of understanding. When you see anybody operating in excellence, that's a person that has understanding. You want your grades excellent. The place where you are working, they say resume 8 o'clock. You don't get there 8:15 and change the timing to 8 o'clock. That means you don't have an excellent spirit. You do your work at the time you're supposed to do your work. You don't go to work and be praying. Pray at home. When you get to the office, work. That's what you are being paid for. When it's your break time, you can use your break time to pray. Don't carry your spirituality or stupidity to the place of work and say, no, boss, you have to wait. I can't submit any file right now. Monday in our church, we pray from 9 to 10 a.m. Rabakate, Robozia Baba, Ayaba Baba. This file is going to Abuja. Abuja ke, Gabra Kataba, Abuja, Abuja, Abuja. My friend, they're going to sack you. That's stupidity. You have deadlines to meet? Meet them. A person of an excellent spirit is a person that has understanding. In Yoruba language, understanding is oye, 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 oye. Tobalo oye, oye. Konshi okpe, abomugo, oye, oye. Kani oye, oye. He doesn't have understanding. Wisdom is ogbon, knowledge is imo. Understanding is oye. Kani mwenye oloye. May you loye o. Proverbs 21, verse 16. Says the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Let me say this. By understanding, even your life is established. By understanding. Maturity in the things of God comes through understanding. Understanding. You don't react to situations like every other person. You have understanding. So kill that person. Kill her. Let's kill her. Everybody, let's kill her. She's a bad girl. She's giving our church a bad name. Pastor, she must never be associated with us. And we can't afford it. And I look at us. We too, are we perfect? So, I'm not going to do what you said. I'm going to do it another way. Understanding. When I didn't have understanding too, I cut people into pieces. So, I will never give you another chance. But Samson's hair began to grow again. In Judges 16, they didn't know that. They didn't know the grace of God. That after they plucked out his eyes, his hair began to grow again. Judges 16, I think it's verse 22. Thank you. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. After he messed up, his hair began to grow again. What does that tell you about God? God gives everybody another chance. Why don't we give people another chance? Lack of understanding. Sometimes we have thrown away good people because they did something wrong. One stupid act. Good people do stupid things sometimes. That doesn't make them bad people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even the so-called bad people, when the ways of a man please the Lord, they will make his enemies to be at peace with him.
God can use them for you against their will. Don't throw people away. Understand it. Understand will establish your life. Maturity comes with understanding. Spiritual maturity. Your heart is established in spite of the vicissitudes of life. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Jehoshaphat said to the people, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. When you believe the Lord your God, he said you will be established. When you are established, your heart does not fear evil tidings. Psalm 112, verses 7 to 8. Very quickly, Psalm 112, verses 7 to 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Read this, everybody. Say it, make it personal. Say, I shall not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That's a man that has understanding. Verse 8. My heart is established. I shall not be afraid until I see my desires upon my enemies. Say amen to that. When your heart is established, you are not afraid of evil tidings. Bad news. Hey, excuse me, everybody. A dollar is now going to become 2,000 naira. That means everything, the prices of food items will go up. Do you know what happens? Some people will just, they will go into coma. Some will just collapse. Some will just have high blood pressure. Hey, am I going to survive? Am I going to survive? With the way, even when it's 1,400, it's difficult to feed. Now it's 2,000. My friend, calm down. Please let me tell your neighbor, say, calm down. You see, understanding establishes your heart. When your heart is established, you don't care whether it's 1 million. You know that your God shall supply. How many of your needs? According to the currency of your country. According to the economy of your country. According to what? Talk to me. Preach to me. According to what? To his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You must have a heart that is established by understanding. It is through understanding that a house is established. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, according to Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's a glory coming. I prophesy over someone's life, after this, there's going to be the glory. There is a glory after this. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, there is a glory after this. Tell them, I don't know what you're going through right now. Tell them, I don't even care what you're going through right now. I'm speaking God's word to you right now. There is a glory after this. Shout amen.
Amen.
Why? Because our heart is established. Verse 28, he said, and we know, for we know, verse 28, and we know that all things work together. How many things work together for good? All things means the good, the bad, the ugly. All join. You know, they just sat you in your place of work. He's working together for my good. You know, they didn't give you the admission. He's working together for my good. You know, he just walked out on you. He's working together for my good. You know, he just lost some money. He's working together for... We know that all things... How many things, church? Shout all. No matter what you go through, he's working together for your good. Because you love God. And you have been called according to his purpose. Unless you don't love God. Do you love God? All things are working for my good. Yeah. It's intentional. Never fail. I know that all things are working for my... That's the life of a child of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we don't live in fear and agitation. Anxieties, worries, fear are far from my mind. Because of what is coming upon the world, no? I don't look at what is coming upon the world and fear. I look at what the word of God tells me. One man in Germany looked upon what was coming upon the world. Go to Luke 21:26. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. COVID was announced in 2020. Emmanuel, give me that picture. Get it ready. And this man was he was in charge of the economy of Germany, a particular region in Germany. He was German finance minister. His name was Thomas Schiffer. Or Schiffer. Is any in church this morning? Any Oluwa? Ojo? Is in church this morning? That's unusual. He's not in church. What happened? He traveled. Oh, okay. I think his dad is in the country. Okay. I would have asked him to help us pronounce that name. He's from Germany. He's only here for 1 month and then he'll be back to Germany. It doesn't matter whether we know how to pronounce the name or not. Can you put up the picture? This man, handsome man. Why are you all laughing? Is he not handsome? He's a handsome white man. He's handsome. You see some white man, you know this man is handsome. Are you black man? Are you more handsome than them? This man was in charge of the economy. Germany, a highly developed, highly industrialized nation. He killed himself. He was like Salvatore of last week. You remember Salvatore? Only those who were in church last week can relate. He killed himself. Why? Because of COVID. COVID was coming. It had been announced there'll be a worldwide lockdown. And the man said, how will my people cope? How are they going to cope? I wish I could speak German this morning. How will the first host? How's the first cope? How are they going to cope? Because of how people were going to cope, he killed himself. He was found by the railway line. A minister in charge of finance. His heart was overwhelmed. How would people survive? Are you Jesus? He put the weight of the world upon himself. Like some of us. Worry about everybody in your family. You worry about yourself. You worry about the past, the present, and the future. So you're always overwhelmed. That's why I don't even know I'm going to survive. Even me, I don't know how you're going to survive. If you're like this. One guy, let me close with this. He was my old school friend. He was deported from Turkey. So he saw me driving my Mercedes one day. So he stopped me and greeted him. Then said he wanted to see me. So later I went to see him. He sat me down in his room. I went to see him in his room early in the morning. He said, AK, because that's my name, Akiola. He said, I know you're a pastor. You need to help me. I said, help, how? He said, man, I was deported. That was his English. I was deported. I said, you were deported. He said, man, no more. And then he had been making money in that country. I don't know what went wrong. Apparently, he didn't have his papers and all of that. You know, these people that see police are on. Anyway, so when he finished, I said, so what's the issue? And I said, he needed to travel. He needed to go back to Europe. I can't live in Nigeria. His whole room was smelling cigarette. Sherry, if you can't, after one, take another one. When it was done, and he was talking about finances also, how I needed to help him. So I said, 2 years ago. So I took him down to 2023. And I told him my story. I said, you see that Mercedes-Benz you are looking at? Even as of that time, I was thinking of selling it. Yeah. I already spoke to someone. They valued it for $9 million at the time. But then I didn't sell it again. So I told him. I said, have you been to EFCC? He said, no. Do you know whether your name is in the state command of the police? He said, no. I said, me, I don't know whether somebody has written a petition against me at EFCC now. I don't know whether DSS is even waiting to invite me. So I live every day by faith as I wake up. I did everything in all honesty and with all transparency, and I printed 1 year of my bank statement. I gave it to the police. Another 1 year, I gave it to the court. So my clients, you can look through as your money came in, how your money went out. Transparency. I said, but this is my issue for now. So don't look at me like because I'm driving the Benz. You know what the guy said? Onitiepo. That was what he said. He said, Oniti. He was the one that said it. Oniti Epo. You know, in Yoruba, they say, Oniti Epo. Oronu. Toba turi telomi. Bangkok bini. You said your own is much and you want to kill yourself. If you hear someone else's story, you'll be thanking God. He said, God, I thank you. I thank you. A friend looked me in the face and said, if it was me that this thing happened to, I would have died. 1 million will kill me. 1 million. We're talking 145 million. He said, 1 million will kill me. How are you surviving? I said, because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And you, church, are my witnesses. You know that even that time was not easy on me. I came to every service. I still preached. Except one Sunday, I couldn't make it because I became down. We are not chickens. We don't run away from trouble. Eagles locate the eye of the storm and they soar. Other birds see the storm, run away. Otherwise, to kill them, it will break their wings. The storm is that powerful. But the eagle soars. You are the eagle Christian. COVID has come. COVID is gone. Are we still not surviving? Yes, is Germany not existing? Yes, but this man's heart was not established in the goodness of God. I made it open. During that lockdown, I said, nobody around us will have coronavirus. Nobody in this church, not even me. Hey, don't miss that. Don't lay hands. I laid hands. God so blessed us that even somebody was watching online from the UK, an elder brother to one of my protocol ministers, Michaela. Her name is Michaela. I can't remember the Yoruba name now. Demilade, UI. An elder brother in England that had COVID, watched our service, took communion as we were taking communion, got healed. The anointing was so much and it's still so much. Amen. Life is not a playground. That's why I spend this more time to preach like this. I want you to be strong because you have already overcome the world. Three people said, yes, sir. The man killed himself. Is Germany still not existing? Are people not eating in Germany today? He killed himself. That's how people commit suicide. When they see no hope again. Go and listen to my message titled, The Power of Remembering. It will bless somebody here. And go and get the message series, Keep Hope Alive. Keep it alive. One thing even Satan knows he can't take from me is hope. I'm a prisoner of hope. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. That's what the word of God says. Number four, understanding helps you appreciate your calling and inheritance in Christ. Understanding helps you appreciate your calling and inheritance in Christ. Psalm 49 and verse 21. Psalm 49. Give me verse 20, please. Verse 20. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. You will not be like the beast in the name of Jesus. When you don't have understanding, one is like a beast. You are a child of the Most High God. There are certain places they should not find you. They shouldn't find you dead. A man that is in honor but lacks understanding is like a beast that perishes. Appreciate your calling and your inheritance in Christ. Don't carry God's anointing to places where God is not honored. Appreciate who you are in Christ. Don't look at the people of the world and be trying to be like them. Appreciate your calling. A man that is in honor but understandeth not is like a beast that perishes. God said in Psalm 32, I will guide you with my eye. Verses 8 and 9. He said, but don't be like the mule. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. But he said, be not. Verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. That's what I will do for you. I will lead you in every area of your life. But be not as a horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. When you want to make a horse turn, you have to hold them. God said, don't let me be leading you like that. Don't let me be pulling your mouth to lead you. Have understanding. Don't let problems, don't go there, don't choose the hard life. So that is only problem that drive you to God every time. Love the Lord and walk with him. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, when they now tell you now, out of the alcohol that you have taken, now your liver has failed. Every man with failed liver will pray. And they will pray everywhere. No matter who is leading the prayer. Amen. Because that's liver cirrhosis. Go to dialysis centers now. Young people are having dialysis. Male and female. What is causing this? One of my girls in school of nursing did a write-up and sent and shared with me. She's a nurse now. She was a student at that time. The rate that we young men are taking alcohol because you want to sexually satisfy your girlfriend. You want to go 5 rounds. You want her to know you are a horse. God said, be not as a horse. You say you want to be a horse. Some of you taking energy drinks, you better be careful. You better be careful. Say, Pastor, we do hard work. It's because of hard work. Hard work, Oshiwolonshe. May you do smart work. They take alcohol because they want to satisfy their girlfriend. The girl will leave you when they tell you that the kidneys have failed. She can't cope. How many people can cope? Even your parents, they'll be tired. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Do you think dialysis itself is an easy, is a walk in the park? It's a painful process. Those of you that know this can bear me witness. It's a removal of the entire blood from a person to cleanse it and to return it. And in the process, the person might need blood transfusion. Money for dialysis, money for transfusion. And they will begin to tell you, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Anything that triggers your blood pressure, you have to take care of it. When urea becomes high, because the person has not done dialysis in 2 weeks, it's a journey, I know. I've given money to people. I spent money on it, on dialysis. Not for me. God forbid, in the name of Jesus, and never in my family, to help somebody. I know what it means. The man, he was my convert. He was older than me. He was my mentor growing up. He taught me, if you see me dressing well today, he was the one that taught me. He taught me the good things and the bad things of life. But glory be to God, I met Christ. Otherwise, I would have followed every step. One girl in the morning, another one in the evening. One girl in the morning, another one in the evening. Drinking like no man's business. Eventually, I met Christ. I led him to Christ. He said, Pastor Fred, you are my father in the Lord. I wish I gave my life to Christ when you told me. Diabetes entered. Many of you don't know that the alcohol you are consuming contains more sugar even than the soda that some of us are drinking. As bitter as the alcohol is, it has more sugar. For it to attain that level of sweetness that you call bitterness, loaded in one somebody's system, and they load it every time, somebody every Friday, some 3 times a week. You are killing yourself. Be not as a horse that has not. Let me guide you. Don't let beer guide you. No, pastor does not want us to enjoy. When a young man starts drinking beer, check his weight. You see, he will start gaining weight. And he will think he's enjoying. Because he's now living large. There's an evidence of good living. Pot belly is coming out. His cheeks are coming out. He couldn't just get there. He couldn't ready. He couldn't do long. You are dying instrumentally. Sugar is accumulating. He's not finding a way to get out. In Nigeria, when you gain weight, you are big, you are rich. What? For some people, it's in their gene to be big. But even those people, you need to still work on it to burn the calories for the sake of your heart. 100,000 gone in 3 days for dialysis. Another 3 days, it needs 100,000. When there was no money again, urea began to build up in the system. And once urea builds up, he will lose his sanity. I'm talking like a doctor because I walked through the journey with him. I know it. It all started from alcohol because you want to please your girlfriend. I've seen some things in this life. When wahala got to a point, the wife left him. She already was going out with another man. No nonsense. She didn't care. She posted pictures on Facebook. She might me. I can't keep myself. Oh, live life. Oh, no, don't say Obirin, because Okunrin too can do it. When wahala comes, real, may we not see wahala in the name of Jesus. And to not see wahala is what I'm teaching you now. I beg you, please. Let's appreciate our calling in Christ. Don't go and contract a debilitating disease. There's human papilloma virus. It's not just HIV. There's HPV. That one, just body touch like this. Contact. Say, just kiss. We didn't have sex. Kiss alone can cost you something. When the Bible tells us all these things, God is not going to catch all these things. He's saying it for our sake. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Ephesians 1:17-23. Pray it every day so that you can understand your calling in Christ. Number five, which is the last point. Understanding helps you to keep your focus on what is important. Understanding helps you to keep your focus on what is important. Not everything is important in life. When life throws challenges at you, for instance, you keep your focus on Jesus because you know that those things are distractions. Understanding sharpens your focus. Let me give you two scriptures or three on focus. This will help you, young people. Because focus is a major issue today because of the distractions of social media. 1 Kings 20, verses 38 to 40. I'll tell you what is there. 1 Kings 20, verses 38 to 40. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, "Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, 'Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver.'" He said, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. So the king of Israel said to him, "So shall your judgment be. Yourself have decided it. Busy here and there. Busy here and there. Loss of focus." See, I'm multitasking. My friend, focus! Don't be swayed by everything that life throws your way. When you are given a task, complete it. And keep your focus on Jesus. One pastor here, one church there, one system there, one program there. My friend, keep your focus. Those who keep their focus always reach their destination. This man was busy here and there. The man he was given to keep, he didn't know when the man was gone. The king said, "So your life shall be for his life." Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 6. Songs of Solomon 1:6. "Look not upon me because I'm black, because the sun had looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept." Mind your business. Keep your own vineyard. It's not every gist they bring to you. You should help them to peddle. Don't even listen to every gist. Many of them are poisonous to your soul. This week, if you mind your business, many of you will come back with testimonies next week. Because you will save a lot of time and energy to do something productive. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's good. Let me tell your neighbor, say, mind your business. Keep your own vineyard. Say, my mother's children, they made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. My own. When are you going to keep your own vineyard? You are the one that knows the latest gist in church, the latest gist in your department, the latest faculty gist, the latest gist in your family. Kilo day? Are you a blogger? Because those ones, they don't mind their own business. Other people's business is their business. When Peter lost focus, Matthew 14:30, he began to sink. He was walking on water before. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he lost focus. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." You will not sink in the name of Jesus. Young people, maximize your time well. Understanding helps you to maximize your time and to decipher issues. There are certain issues, don't join. Don't join. Certain conversations on X, don't join. Don't join. It will drain your energy. It will waste your time. Be disciplined when you get on social media.
is a mark of understanding. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3 tells us to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and to run our race with patience. Let me tell anybody, say, run your race. 1 Peter 4:15. It tells us to mind our business. 1 Peter 4:15. 1 Peter 4:15. 4:15. 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. It is not nice for a believer to be suffering as a busybody in other men's matters. They said you said. They said somebody said that. Somebody said that you said. It was you that said it. Every issue around, they say it's you. It's always coming from you. When are you going to mind your own vineyard? When some people come to church, is how other people dress. That's what they come to check. They are fashion police. We don't have any official fashion police in this church. Leave people the way they are. Leave them. Let them dress. Please, leave them alone. Check bon gotimo, sir. Leave them alone. Don't condemn people. When they meet Christ and Christ meets them, nobody will tell them to start dressing well. There was a young man that joined this church. He had this kind of funny hair. Rugged boy. The first day he shared his testimony here, even Victor Ye, that thought he was a kingpin on the street, they say he bows before that guy. He knows, they know the guy I'm talking about. Victor Ye, Moses, and the rest of them. They respect that guy. If you see the guy's head now, I didn't preach to him, go and cut your hair. He cut it himself. He cut it, he made a video, and started laughing at himself. I saw the video on his status, because I became his friend. I will not condemn you. It will interest you when we go out for evangelism or to distribute flyers. This boy will be there, doing it with enthusiasm. Bad boy, now a good boy in Christ. I chatted him last week. I said, I've not seen you in church for a while. What happened? He said, Pastor, thank you for checking up on me. He said, I just found a job. He said, from your messages, I discovered that I needed to get a job. That I can't just sit at home and be expecting money to come. So I went out to get a job. He said, but I'm trying to balance myself now. Very good. Our messages are changing lives. Don't just be coming and be hearing. Do something with what you're hearing. Mind your business. Don't let them be. May it not happen one day that they pour ashes on your head. Then you're the only fool of the church. Anything happens is from your mouth. I learned from my father in the Lord. When there's the bad news, he doesn't spread bad news. He will not call you and say, somebody, have you heard that somebody has died? He said, I'm a minister of the gospel. I preach good news. I learned that from him. I'm also trying. Not very easy. Because bad news, you know, it has a way of just very tantalizing. It is sweet. But it sweets the flesh, not the spirit. Last scripture for today, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Understanding helps you keep your focus. Understanding helps you keep your focus. Let's read this together, everybody. And that ye study to be quiet. Study. You need to study to be quiet. Nobody is naturally quiet. Except maybe that's your temperament. You will study to be quiet. And to do your own. Talk to me, John. Do your own business. And to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. This is an epistle to the New Testament church. Don't be a busybody in other people's matters. Face your life. That energy you are using to spread the news, use it to build yourself. You are becoming a person of understanding. They bring this. Oh boy, I beg. I don't get time for this today. I have this project I'm working on. I have to focus. Understanding helps you keep your focus on Jesus and on your personal work with him and your personal development in life. You have no time to poke your nose into other people's matters. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-5. I think that's the last scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-5. Finally, brethren, pray for us. This is what we should be doing as a church. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. I'm taking God's word out this week, next week. And as I'm also taking time to be alone with the Lord, I'm begging you, pray this for me. That the word of God will have free course. And it's not time to run away from church. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll be here, Bible encounter night. I'll be here the upper week as well. Before I finally take my retreat and then see you during a blaze. Please. It's not time to run away from church. Ah, pastor is not preaching next Sunday. Okay, so I'm going somewhere. Don't go anywhere. This is your own church. Mind your own business. Don't go and be poking your nose into other people's affairs. Did you hear what I said? Very good. Pray for us. I need your prayer. Finally, brethren, pray for me. And let's pray for one another. I'll be here tomorrow, 3 p.m. I thank those of you that normally come every Monday to pray. We are praying for the church. Instead of criticizing people, they go to nightclub. They go to come and pray for them. When you pray for people, you will stop talking nonsense about them. Some people have helped me to chase people away from this church by criticizing them. Leave them now. If God did not have mercy on you, you too, will you be saved? Even now that you are saved, gone, you are not going to club, but club is in you. Pray for us that we may be delivered. Verse 2. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all may have faith. May God deliver all of us. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I pray for you, church. May the Lord keep you from evil. There is evil in the world. I must tell you. Jesus said in John 17, I pray not that you take them away from the world, but keep them from the evil. If Jesus prayed it, he knew what he saw. In Matthew 6, when he was telling us to pray the Lord's Prayer, one of the verses, he said, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Mafa wasinu idewo, shubon bawalowo bilisi. Belishi or Belisi. That's evil. I say, what's for me, Yoruba? I love these media people. Matthew, Orikefa, Ese Ketala, Onimasifa, Wasinu Idewo, Shugan, Gawalowo, Belisi. Nitori, Jobani Tireo, Ati Agbara, Ati Ogolaila, me. May the Lord deliver this church from evil. May the Lord deliver every one of us from evil. May the Lord deliver our online viewers and members from evil. In the mighty name of Jesus. May the Lord deliver our families from evil. In the name of Jesus. I've taken so much time today because it's important. We are closing. We have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Verse 5, that's where we stop. Stand, everybody. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God. Say amen. Amen. And into the patient waiting for Christ. Say amen. Amen. Leave that verse 5 on the screen. I pray for the church now. May the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God. Amen. Father, may you direct our hearts into your love. Direct our hearts into your love. Let Christ be our devotion. Let Christ be our confession. Let Christ be our possession. And into the patient waiting for Christ. That Lord Jesus, when you return, we will not miss you. We will not miss your coming. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for the church this morning. Please direct our hearts into your love. Lord, direct our hearts into your love. And into the patient waiting for Christ. And no matter what we go through in this life, we will eagerly wait for your coming. And in the way we live our lives, we will wait for you. We will not miss heaven. No matter what we miss in this world, we will not miss heaven. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.